Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. That's the number you can call to bring up whatever you want to talk about. In the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And we're really happy to have Riley in here. He's moved here, actually completely moved from Utah.
That's right. I just barely moved about 2 weeks ago. The big reason for me is I want to be part of the Free State Project and get more liberty in my lifetime. Plus, I'm closer to my girlfriend who lives about 300 miles from me. So she lives in Pennsylvania, and now I'm in New Hampshire.
Nice. Yeah, so it's easier to jump on a plane and get to Pennsylvania from here than from
Yeah, for sure. And it's probably going to be a little cheaper.
Yeah, I just think it's so great that whenever anybody picks up their life and moves to New Hampshire for the Free State Project, and if the listener doesn't know what that is, it's a project of people coming together, and they voted and chose New Hampshire to be the place to move to, and they're moving there to all together as a group create more freedom and liberty in New Hampshire.
And I think that's important because when you get a group of people together that value the same things, everything's going to change. Like, for example, you know, if you value things like cannabis decrim and you move to a place that's got cannabis decrim, that's all great. But let's say you move to a place that doesn't and you want to get more people involved in decriminalizing something like cannabis, then, yeah, move to a place with a bunch of people to get it done.
And, I mean, as far as, like, you know, cannabis decriminalization in general, I think it's only a matter of time. Like something like that in New Hampshire, it's only a matter of time. All of the surrounding states are filled with dispensaries. It's very laxed in Maine and in Massachusetts. And I think in New Hampshire, we have such an air of freedom here. And I think a lot of, you know, even the locals, like people who grew up here, kind of, you know, like myself, I think a lot of people, like, no one is really against people smoking weed here.
Right.
It's more just, like, the technicalities. And I'm actually really surprised that it's still such a big deal here. And, like, that's the joke that everybody makes because I spend a good amount of time in Massachusetts. And that's one of the things that comes up when I'm talking to people, you know, especially in Massachusetts, who, I mean, weed has been at least at least decriminalized in Massachusetts for, you know, years.
Right.
And that's like the ongoing joke is, yeah, live free or die, except when it comes to weed.
I just think I would argue with those people. I mean, probably not actually at work or something because that's just annoying, but I would tell them, I honestly think that the way that we're doing it in New Hampshire is better. Even if it's not where I want it to be yet, I prefer decriminalization, which is already happening in New Hampshire, way over the legalization route where you know, things get taxed and there's only, like, some of these states, they have laws about marijuana, which is like, why this plant? Why not tomatoes? But yeah. Only the government has to choose who's allowed to sell it, things like that. And lots of bills have come up in the New Hampshire State House over the years, especially recently, where people are proposing, like, oh, yeah, we're going to finally do the thing. We're going to finally legalize marijuana. We're going to make it like this. And it would be way worse than it is right now.
Yeah, and we can't have that. We got to have it all the way decriminalized. And I would say regulate marijuana like tomatoes. That's
right.
My policy.
That would be an amazing first. It would be, I mean, I already think that the marijuana laws in New Hampshire are mostly good. People, Ian did a FOIA request, and I think he requested it like before he even met me, like in 2020, but early 2020, after the most recent like good decriminalization laws came out, for to see how many people have been arrested in Keene. I think it was just Keene for marijuana, and he didn't get it back until like the end of 2021. So in like a whole year, only, I think, 9 people got arrested and didn't get charged, or maybe like 1 or 2 got actually charged.
And that's the thing, too, and it seems like when, you know, police are doing traffic stops, they do, like, they can use their discretion. So a lot of the times, they'll, you know, just either pretend they didn't see it, or I think it's very rare that a cop would actually, like, prosecute someone over it, or, like, you know, They're gonna try to get them on something else before that. It's not, the culture has just changed so much around it. Like, it's not like drinking and driving. I mean, right. If a cop pulls you over and you're drunk, they're absolutely gonna try to stick you with a DUI. Unless you're in their club and maybe you're one of the other town cops, you know, niece or nephew or something. In that case, they usually let you go, but.
And that's the thing about small town governments is, you know, the cops, like the good old boys, they're going to let them off. They'll let off the good old boy family members, and they won't let you off if you're a newcomer.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I have one friend, I won't say who has been arrested a lot in New Hampshire, and he said he's gotten his joint handed back to him, like, you know, keys, wedding ring, joint, because they just don't care at all about it.
Yeah.
And then I also know this person who got arrested for... Or I don't even remember. I don't think he got arrested. He got, like, given a... It was the craziest story, and he just told it to me at Porkfest. So basically, he got pulled over. They were like, it looks like you have a stolen plate. And their story was all weird. They were like, it's a stolen plate from Michigan, but it's a New Hampshire license plate. It didn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah, I remember that story, and I think it was they didn't run the whole license plate. Like, all of the letters and the numbers, they just ran, like, the first 3, and it seemed like it was they made a big mistake.
But, so, I think because they made a big mistake, now they're doubling down, because they, like, pinned him to his car, took a pipe out of his pocket, and there wasn't any charges for, like, a month and a half or 2 months.
That's crazy.
And now he's getting charged with having 0.2 grams of marijuana.
Wow, that's crazy. Insane.
And
You mentioned Porkfest, and for listeners who don't know, Porkfest is the Porcupine Freedom Festival that happens late June.
Yes.
Up at Rogers Campground in the White Mountains of New Hampshire.
Yep, there are that many libertarians here that there's a yearly camping festival with like 3,000 people. It's really fun.
I think most of the people that go live here.
Yeah, I think that's the nice thing about New Hampshire is there are enough liberty-minded people here that we can have such an event. Like, in Utah, I don't know of such a thing. They'd have to go to something like Freedom Fest or meet with the Republican Party to feel like they're belonging. But here, there are people that actually believe in freedom.
I wonder if you and I know some of the same libertarians from Utah. I mean, I wasn't, like, involved with them. I went to, like, a couple meetups, and then I just got an intense feeling of dread, like doom. Like, oh, there's no, like, it literally gave me, like, a short bout of depression.
Yeah.
Because I had found out all this interesting stuff. I listened to every single Tom Woods video on the internet in 2016, and I was like, well, this is the truth. This is so interesting, like libertarianism, yeah. And I was like, maybe there are libertarians in Utah. I found a group that was meeting up, and it's nice that there was like 10 people that were meeting up regularly at this place in Salt Lake City, but it was just like we talked over dinner, then there was like this extra room that people just hung out in and talked for a while, and even though everyone's really nice, I seriously got like the worst feeling that I couldn't really put words to at first. And it was just this desperation, like, okay, this is the 10 people that get it.
Yeah.
They're kind of not doing anything.
And even the other people that get it clearly aren't doing anything.
Right. And that's the thing about, you know, other states and other libertarian parties in other states is they're always working. They want to talk about working within the legislative system and trying to pass new laws. But they have Republicans or Democrats. Yet here we have free staters running as Republicans and as Democrats. And we're getting things done.
Yep. And I think, like, aside from that, even, because I really honestly don't care about politics at all, and I'm more of, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, you know, regardless of what the law says. But it just seems like, you know, in my experience living here, like, people practice what they preach, and it's more of a lifestyle and less of, oh, we're going to run for office. And, like, yeah, of course, there are people doing that, and I think that is great because, you know, it's nice to have, you know, I guess something going through the system that's already in place, like you might as well. But there are so many people who are just living their truth and living authentically and just really, I mean, to me, like, that is the true essence of freedom. Like,
yes,
being self-sustaining, being independent, and having a large community of people who are going to support you and back you up. Like, if something does happen, people really will back you up here, unless you're some jerk and you have no friends. But for the most part, like, we have a giant community.
Even sometimes if you're a jerk and have no friends.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I mean, that's the nice thing about having a community is we know, okay, this person may not be the best person to deal with, but we might come to their defense. Or, you know, they're not the best person to deal with. We don't feel comfortable going to their defense to let them deal with the system themselves.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Nikki, because I think that Keen needs to start getting really active again. I've definitely not even wanted to do much recently. Like, I did this Meet a Free Stater event. I was going to keep doing it, and then life just happened. Like, for whatever reason, June feels like impossible to do anything because Porkfest is, and Forkfest is like a week and a half. And I know it's just a week and a half out of 4 weeks, but it just, for whatever reason, drains you. And then,
yeah, well, even like preparing,
preparation,
yeah, like preparing for it and then like decompressing from it. Like, at right, least like when you get home, you need a week to just like
not
work at your full capacity.
Not hear the word liberty. But Riley, the reason I brought it up is, Riley and Ridley and I were talking about it, and Riley was saying, I want to be a part of, you know, the legacy of activism in Keene. So what did you start because of that, Riley?
Well, I started an event in downtown Keene at Railroad Square is where we're having it now. Every Friday, we're doing a 420 rally at 420, of course, and I'm bringing back the tradition of smoking weed in downtown Keene because I think it's important to celebrate cannabis. I see cannabis as a sacrament, a spiritual tool, but at the same time, I also believe that people have the right to connect with cannabis however they want, and it's none of my business how you connect with the plant. So come join us every Friday at 420.
That's awesome. I love that. I think that's a great idea.
And one thing that I thought was great about it, I kind of got worried because I had driven somewhere else the morning of the first 420, which was last Friday. And I saw that there was this Harry Potter-themed week going on in downtown Keene.
Yeah.
So I was kind of afraid that people would, like, give us any kind of crap because there's a lot of people downtown. No one seemed to really bat an eye.
Yeah, we were just downtown enjoying a joint or whatever and having a good time, and nobody even stopped to say, what are you doing?
Yep, no one did. No cops came up, and I didn't even see any cops, but to be fair, but there was, like, people with kids walking past, just, like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just think that's what's really important about Riley's event, because some people may say, oh, we already have decriminalization, you know, that's not a big issue right now, but I think that it needs to be normalized.
I think so, too. I think it's important to normalize the use of cannabis and not normalize it to say this is the best plant, everyone should have it, but to normalize it to the point that, say, you know, if consenting adults want to put something in their body, they have the right to do so.
And I like the argument I hear sometimes in different mom groups. So it's wine moms, like, that is so normalized. Like, you know, moms that just hang out and drink wine. Maybe they drink, like, 3 bottles of wine and they get trashed. And that is still normalized in our culture. Like, alcohol is just so normalized, especially in our specific area. I understand in some other parts of the country, it isn't, like, the alcoholism problem isn't as bad. But especially, like, up here, people drink a lot.
It's cold, right?
And, you know, one of my friends pointed out to me, like, she doesn't drink, but she's a big pothead.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, how come people tell me I'm a bad mom because I like to smoke weed? And that's a good question. You know,
yeah,
like, she's not, like, necessarily, like, getting super stoned while she's watching her kids, but if she wants to smoke a joint before she goes to, like, the kids are in bed, you know, everybody's tucked in,
yep,
and just something to decompress, something that doesn't have the side effects that alcohol does, isn't as addictive as alcohol. I mean, there's just so many horrifying things that can happen to you. You know, I mean, you can literally die over alcohol withdrawals.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And I'm sorry, weed isn't killing anybody.
Yeah.
So it is a great point, like, why is it normalized for, like, wine moms, but, like, you can't be a weed mom? And I do think the culture is changing a little bit surrounding that, but there are, like, some older folks who are still, like, really, really against it. And even hospitals, you know, if in your early pregnancy, if you test positive for marijuana, you know, in your blood test, when they do, like, all of the screenings when you first get pregnant, I mean, they sometimes, depending on the state and depending on the hospital, can open a DCYF case or a DCF case on you.
Which is CPS, and I think, like every other state, it's Child Protective Services, or,
yeah.
Do you know what DCYF stands for?
Department of Youth and Child Services, yeah. Or something. But yeah, so the Child Protective Services, I mean, that's just completely ridiculous, just because you were smoking weed before you knew you were pregnant. If you were at the bar drinking before you knew you were pregnant, no one would bat an eye. Oh, no, it's okay. You didn't know you were pregnant.
And they aren't doing tests for it.
Well, they can't.
The other thing is I've never heard that smoking weed while pregnant, even if you know you're pregnant, does things like fetal alcohol syndrome.
No, it actually doesn't. And there's very limited research on this, but there are some studies being done on some of, like, the possible, you know, like, risks. But also the side effects of using marijuana medicinally in pregnancy. I know I've heard of some people saying, you know, I was so nauseous. They had hyperemesis, which is when you are just vomiting a lot throughout pregnancy, to the point where they couldn't eat a single thing. And the only thing that helped them with that was eating edibles. Or smoking weed.
That's interesting.
So there are some certain conditions. Like, I think as long as the pros outweigh the cons, and I think eating it versus smoking it is usually better, because smoking anything is typically not good for your health.
Right.
And of course, like, in moderation, like, you shouldn't be getting super stoned every day. But I just think that women deserve to have the right to use it medicinally, or even discuss it with their doctor.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, like, discuss it, be able to discuss it with their doctor or their midwife or, like, whoever their healthcare practitioner is. Why does the state need to get involved?
I think that's the point. I think that's a good point, Nikki. I think that, you know, when an institution calling itself government gets involved in your life, that makes it really tough for me to justify having this organization around.
Yeah.
I mean, ruining a family is right when a baby is born. That's going to help the baby.
Think of that. Like, imagine having a CPS case. And, like, notoriously, like, once you have one CPS case, like, once they know your name, you are on their list for life. And, like, if anything else happens, like, that's an automatic red flag. Like, oh, you already had an open case at one point. Even if it was resolved immediately, it looks very, very bad.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not really fair, just because, I mean, even if somebody was smoking it during pregnancy, I just, you know, it's not something that I would do. But I just don't necessarily think it warrants an open CPS case. You know what I mean? Like, you can't compare that to, like, doing heroin while you're pregnant.
The main thing that I'm not going to ever have kids. Ian got a vasectomy. I don't know why I have to say it, but he got a vasectomy. I'm just never going to have kids. But the main reason I wouldn't do it is just because I can't even imagine, like, the anxiety. Like, that sounds like, if you felt like it'd be fine, you convinced yourself it'd be fine, and then you just start feeling anxious, I feel like that would be really bad.
Feel
terrible.
Yeah, I mean, and that happens to me anyways when I smoke weed. Like, I cannot smoke because of, like, the psychological effects. And I used to smoke a ton of weed. Like, I used to be a big, big pothead. And then, I don't know, I just don't enjoy it like that anymore.
That's fine.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, I wouldn't use it anyways. But yeah, I mean, and it can be a great tool for things like anxiety. I mean,
it's so crazy how differently this drug affects different people. Like, you can't really say the same about something like Kratom, which I'm drinking right now. It's basically going to affect... Well, one thing that's weird about Kratom is, like, some people just be like, it didn't affect me at all. And
I have heard that some people, like, have, like, widely different effects from it. Like, some people are like, oh, it's like Kratom. Adderall. And then some people are like, oh, it makes me... Like, some people are using it as,
but
like,
if they're drinking
methadone.
The same strain, like, they're pretty similar. It's just,
yeah, I mean, I don't know a lot about that either.
I think that what's weird about weed is, like, two people can smoke the same joint and have wildly different reactions.
Yeah. Maybe that's to do with tolerance, too.
Yeah. I also think it comes down to the psychology of the individual. Like, if you're prone to anxiety, yeah, you're going to face more anxiety and you got to work through those demons.
I don't know. Nikki and I have talked about this a lot off air, and I am just not prone to anxiety. Like, I didn't really know what being anxious felt like until I was an adult. When I was in high school, I'm sure that it hit me sometimes, but I never just sat around like, I'm anxious for no reason. That never happened to me.
Huh.
And I would smoke a lot of weed in high school. I would get so high. I would have, like, closed-eyed visuals. I got so much higher in high school than I even could get now. It's so weird. Like, I don't even think I could get in that place again. But I was also like 80 pounds. But now it's like, my point of saying that was I would get so high in high school and never feel anxious about it. Just be like, oh, this is normal. This is normal to feel like this is, and this is great. And all of a sudden, when I was like 21 or 22, I just started being like, wow. It was like, for some reason, I had to take a break. So I took a break for, like, getting a job or something like that. And then I just started getting intense anxiety every time I smoked it. And I just don't feel, I mean, I know that psychological things are involved. Like, you know, there was probably a lot going in my life at the time. But I also think that it just is prone to give me anxiety now. So I didn't smoke at the 420. I went in chalked and was there for moral support.
Hey,
whatever.
Moral support is extremely important. So if you don't enjoy weed and it's not something you enjoy, you know, come for moral support. Come because we need people.
Yeah,
and just hanging out. I mean, it sounds fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also brought, I brought chalk so people could chalk around, you know, just messages like decriminalize it more. That's what I wrote. I also am doing a thing where people who come, if they bring a rock, I have acrylic paint so we can paint like, you know, taxation is theft and them all across New Hampshire. Hopefully,
like weed and arts and crafts.
Right.
There you go.
Since, like, I'm not going to be smoking weed, I just wanted something to do while
there.
But, I listened to Riley's podcast, an episode that he did about using marijuana as a sacrament. And I am interested in one day, maybe when the feds are out of Ian and I's lives, like, just setting a day aside, having a nice, like, spiritual meeting with God with marijuana instead of using it. I think that, to be honest with myself, I think that I used to always use it as a little bit of escapism or partying.
Yeah.
And I've kind of grown out of that.
That's a fine use for people who want to do it that way, but I prefer, you know, connecting with God or whatever God is through cannabis. And sometimes it's hard to find that balance between hanging out with friends and connecting with God, but yet maybe it's not. Maybe we're all just the divine manifesting itself in different ways.
I love that. I love thinking of just regular life as, you know, spirituality doesn't always have to be like a witchcraft ceremony.
Yeah,
it right.
It can also be just going to work.
Yeah.
Enjoying your life.
You don't have to be a Buddhist monk. You can also just be a normal person.
Exactly. 603-283-6160 is the phone number.
Thank you, Riley. This is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News update. Washington, D.C. Metro Police say no shooter was found at the Senate office building this afternoon. U.S. Capitol Police began evacuating the building after officials said they received what they called a concerning 911 call. Metro Police say it appears to have been a bad call and there were no injuries and no shooter located. Former President Trump scheduled to be arraigned tomorrow on four counts related to his alleged efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election.
The attack on our nation's capital on January 6, 2021 was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies.
Special Counsel Jack Smith said his office is ready to have all the evidence tested in a court of law. A variety of reasons are being blamed for the spike in U.S. gas prices. AAA says there are two main ones: global supply being constrained after OPEC nations cut production and the summer's record heat. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim a credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You control. And the number to call if you'd like to get in on this conversation with us is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And in the last segment, we were all talking about, well, we started off just talking about activism and moving to New Hampshire for finding more freedom in our lives. And that brought us to the subject of Riley. He started a... Riley just moved here, by the way. Like, the last couple days of July, right?
Yeah, I moved here on July 18th. Actually, flew in on July 18th. So, that's when I got here. It's been 2 weeks and one day. So, yeah, here I am.
And he's already more active than a lot of Free Staters. He started his own...
I mean, I would say that Riley was more active than a lot of Free Staters before he even got here.
That's a great point.
I don't know about that. I mean, why would you say that, Nikki?
I don't know. I feel like you, like, help a lot with the show, like, doing the digest and...
Right.
And there are a lot of Free Staters who, like, don't do anything. And, like, don't get me wrong. You are not obligated to do any sort of activism if you move here.
Right.
Even just being a freedom-minded person. Or not even that. Even just not like voting for some of the crap politicians that some of the people that live here are voting for. So sometimes doing nothing at all, like, is doing something, kind of, but...
Yeah. Well, the thing about Free Talk Live is it's the show that really turned me on to liberty. And, you know, I started doing the Digest in 2016 because, you know, someone in the FTL AMP Facebook group wanted to have Free Talk Live in a more listenable format, and I volunteered my time and my talents to do that, and so I've been doing it for a while, so...
I mean, I think it's great, and a lot of people do enjoy that, because it can be a lot to listen to a three-hour-long radio show.
Oh, yeah.
And for a lot of people who do want to listen every day, but maybe don't have all of that time, it is nice to have a condensed version. And, I mean, essentially, you can listen to, like, more than 3 days in the time that you'd listen to one episode.
Right, and I have the digests around an hour long, so, you know, if you're commuting on a long commute or whatever... You can listen to it, or if you have a short commute, you know, you could put it in and do a 20-minute commute to work and a 20-minute commute home and maybe 20 minutes before you go to bed. So, you know, break the digest up a little bit.
I used to listen to Free Talk Live, just the whole thing, because I would do Uber Eats. I would do it in the morning, then take a break, and then I would go back out and drive around getting Uber Eats orders and delivering them at, I think it was 6 to 10. Yeah, it was 6 to 10 in Texas. That was... 6 to 9. So it's 7 to 10 here because of the time difference. And that was the exact time I went to go out and do Uber Eats. So I had that much time. But I've heard so much good things. Like people we know, Free Staters, who listen to the show will tell me that they always listen to the digest because, you know, they're busy or, I don't know, maybe they're just not as much of a long form type person. I mean, it's still long form, but
yeah,
that long of a show.
I mean, I think an hour is more comparable to, like, a podcast length, right? Like,
right.
Normally podcasts can range anywhere from, like, 30 minutes to an hour and a half. So I feel like that's pretty typical of what most people's attention span would be.
But
we're doing a radio show, and so we're always taking breaks, but the digest doesn't have any breaks, so, you know.
Right. Yeah. For the people that don't want to hear us introduce ourselves, like, I don't even know how many times it'd be. Is it just, I guess, 6 times during a show?
Yeah, 6 times.
Well, it used to be more.
Yeah,
yep. 12. Yep.
We cut out some breaks.
Well, I brought it up just that Bradley moved here because I was saying right when he moved here, he started his own event, a 420 event. It's at 4:20 p.m. in Keene at Railroad Square every Friday. And so if you'd like to come, you can come. And I'm encouraging people to bring rocks, like clean your rock. And then, because I just don't have time to go collect a whole bunch of rocks, but I have paint. And we can paint them with, you know, messages about freedom and leave them all over New Hampshire. And I'm also bringing chalk. And it's just kind of a hangout sesh while some people smoke weed, trying to normalize weed. But I brought it up because that was what we were talking about last segment. And Riley brought in this interesting story tonight, an opinion piece about psychedelics. This is from symbiosity.com. And it's called Understanding the Practice of Psychedelic Spirituality. So, did you already read or listen to this, Riley?
I have read through it briefly, but go ahead and read it and start, and we can talk about some of the concepts that come up.
I'm sure we have a lot to say about this,
this
subject. I mean, we already basically dipped into it last segment, just about marijuana, at least. Which marijuana is a psychedelic? It's like a low... grade psychedelic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely true because I know a lot of people who have had visuals, and of course, like, it is mind altering, but it can be like very spiritual and like similar to psychedelics.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, edibles are more psychedelic in nature than smoking because edibles are a slightly different chemical when they're broken down in your body.
And that makes sense because typically, if you're taking psychedelics, you're typically going to eat them.
Yeah.
So kind of does make sense.
Yep.
It starts off, it says that the writer is Daniel Hanna, and he says, I'm sure anyone who's nosedived deep enough into a psychedelic trip will tell you how profound the experience is. But is there something more to the psychedelic experience than a simple misfiring of chemicals in your brain? I believe so, personally.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't believe, I mean, personally, I'm not reading right now, it's just me, Bonnie, talking, but... I really dislike the idea that all that there is to life is your brain and the way it chemically reacts to things, and you're not connected to anything outside. I personally believe in a spiritual realm.
I agree. I actually, so here's the thing. I mean, our brains are definitely chemistry plants for all the chemicals going on in our brain. And for sure, these experiences are chemicals in our brain, but the way we frame them makes them spiritual experiences or just experiences in general. Like fear. Chemical reactions in the brain create fear. But, you know, we still can find things to be afraid of, or we are reacting to things that we are afraid of.
Choosing the way that you react to, like, anything is, you know, what makes us human. Like, a dog, when it's scared, is just going to stay in that fight-or-flight mode until it fights or flights. But a human can react. You know, we have so many weird things that give us fear in our lives because of, you know, driving. Dogs don't have to do that. I'm just using dogs as an example. But that's what makes us human. We can choose not to sit around just like, I'm terrified to leave the house. I'm terrified of everything. And we can choose to use those experiences as learning experiences.
Sure. And, you know, maybe some people are terrified to leave the house, and that's okay, too. But at the same time, you know, maybe do something a little different to help you face that fear and lean into it a little bit. And I would encourage you, if you have that fear of leaving the house for whatever reason, walk around your neighborhood a little bit.
Yeah, just do a little bit. Walk in your backyard.
Do a little bit at a time. It's good for your mental health to try things to challenge you a little bit. Challenge your paradigm. Step out of your usual patterns and maybe try something different every once in a while. It's actually really good for your mental health to kind of push yourself a little bit.
Well, getting back into the article, and I agree, Riley, that's just very sweet of you to give that, because, you know, I just gave an example of somebody afraid to leave their house, but I wasn't really empathizing.
Sure.
Sympathizing. It says, psychedelic spirituality refers to the consumption of psychedelics as a medium to explore different realms of existence. This practice is based on the belief that psychedelics can act as a gateway to the spiritual realm, with the potential to liaise a connection between the user and a higher dimension. Beyond the recreational trip, psychedelics act as a catalyst to ego death and induce extremely powerful experiences. The spiritual use of psychedelics goes much deeper than leisurely trips. There's a whole other world associated with the psychedelic experience, something that's magical, mystical, and very difficult to imagine. Yeah, if you haven't experienced psychedelics yourself, it is difficult to imagine.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I have experienced mushrooms, ayahuasca, and things like that. And, you know, to portray it as an experience of escapism is ridiculous, because really, you aren't escaping anything. You're being smashed over the head with yourself, with your,
yeah,
with all your fears, all your nonsense that you believe in. And for people to claim that you're just escaping with psychedelics, it's just insane.
It's like the opposite.
Oh, for
it's
sure. You're not
literally
escaping
the opposite.
Anything. You're,
like,
being dragged into,
yeah,
your own hell, kicking and screaming. You better work your way through that.
But we were saying it can be used as escapism for marijuana, right?
Yeah, sure.
That's why I think it's like marijuana is such a unique psychedelic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I agree. If you're taking mushrooms, I mean, I don't even know how people do it. I don't really understand taking mushrooms and, like, going to a party. I've never done anything like that.
I've never done anything like that either, and I would never do anything like that because it just isn't my thing. It's too overwhelming.
So I will say, when I was, like, in high school, I would, you know, do acid, take mushrooms. I would actually do all sorts of drugs and then go to concerts a lot.
Oh, wow.
I've always gone to a lot of concerts. Typically, like, I would go to a concert at least once a week. And we would get really, you know, we would take all sorts of different things. Yeah, and I would go to concerts. And typically, like, it was a very different experience than, like, being at home. But I would still say, like, I typically had a good experience. I don't know if I would do anything like that these days.
Yeah.
But that, you know, like, when you're in high school, it's like, the stakes feel a lot lower. Like, you're like, maybe more brave, but also, like, more bold. Like, I would do anything in high school.
Right.
See, for me, I didn't do any of those things in high school because I was raised in a religious environment, and that just wasn't something I wanted to do or had the desire to do. I was more interested in trying to live a religious life and be a good person than try anything. But now, in my adult life, it's like, oh, I've left this religion, and decided to go on a spiritual path of my own, and I get to explore things, and now I have to figure out how to balance, you know, my real life with this exploration of psychedelics and cannabis. And sometimes it can be a challenge, but the nice thing is when you get outside your own life and meet with other people, it helps you stay grounded in the present moment and helps you learn how to navigate, you know, being high versus being in reality. And I think being in reality is just as important whether you're getting high or not.
And one thing that opens up is I just don't understand why people can be tricked into believing that it's just always bad. And I wasn't trying to say, like, that you should never take psychedelics and, like, go to a party. It's just that I sincerely can't even, I don't think I would have fun. I wouldn't want to do that. Sometimes yeah. I get scared of, like, skin when I'm on mushrooms. Skin looks so gross. I don't want to, like.
Yeah, that actually is a great point. Like, I've looked at, it depends how many mushrooms you take, right? Because you can kind of microdose or take a smaller dose, and it's a very different experience than if you eat, like, a whole eighth or something.
Yeah.
But I have had that experience where I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm a lizard.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like, you just have that, like, whoa, that's not me.
Exactly.
It can be freaky.
I'm sure it can be, and maybe, you know, having an experience of looking at yourself in the mirror while you're tripping could be a little jarring for people.
Yeah.
Right. I looked in the mirror on shrooms once, and I felt like I was just looking at a lifeless body, and it was really scary. So, yeah, I'm not trying to scare people out of doing it, though, because I quickly went to the other room. I got dressed in something with less skin showing. I don't like skin on shrooms, like I said. It just looks gross. Like,
yeah.
I just don't like the way it looks, and it makes me start remembering that I'm, like, stuck in a skin suit, and that's weird. It's weird when you're on shrooms. It's not as weird, like, saying it right now. It's like, I mean, I love my body.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's ugly. It's something just so strange that lots of people have said the same thing to me. Like, they just don't like the look of human faces and stuff like that on shrooms.
Interesting.
But I felt like, oh, yeah. So what I was going to say is it's just crazy to me to think of, like, why there is this idea that doing drugs is immoral. Because you brought up being raised Mormon and not wanting to be a good person and therefore not doing drugs. And it just, why? I understand why people would maybe think, like, doing meth, like, I still don't think it in itself makes you a bad person, but it's a bad thing, right?
Oh, for sure.
I think it's the purity, right? Like, people just want to be, like, pure of heart and pure of self. And I think, I don't know, I wasn't raised religious, so.
It's hard to live in a world where, you know, you have to be pure of heart and pure of self, because your self, you are rubbing up against experiences that are going to challenge you and help you either be a better person or help ruin your, or cause you to ruin your life. And I think drugs can ruin your life if you don't put them in their proper place and don't use them properly.
Right. And I think that's, like, everything, though, right? Obviously, it's going to be easier to ruin your life doing meth than with eating food. But you can still ruin your life by not having a balance in your life eating food. Like,
absolutely.
You eat way too much food every day and way past when you're not hungry anymore just because it's your comfort thing. That can ruin your life. I think the underlying important thing in all things is having a balance.
Yeah, and, you know, being a workaholic can ruin your life too, because maybe you become an absent person in your children's life.
Well, we actually have someone on the phone, so I'm going to go to the phones. Skeeter, you're on the phone with us from California. What's on your mind?
Yo. Hey, it's your boy Skeeter. Hey, just wondering, why do you guys want to, like, repeal drug laws when it makes the state stronger?
How would that make the state stronger?
You want to give their weaknesses financial, not moral. You want, I mean, like, so I'm of the position we should intensify the drug war, maybe even bring back prohibition, alcohol prohibition.
So let me know how that prohibition thing works out. I mean, it's been tried once, and people didn't like it, so why would it work again?
Well, Skeeter is a, what do they call it, someone who wants to accelerate the end of the United States. Allegedly, that's what he says. I think that's stupid. Like, oh, keeping marijuana illegal is going to accelerate the. I don't really think that that's going to do anything. But
you should take a look at the history, like alcohol prohibition. You know who led the charge to repeal alcohol prohibition, right?
It didn't in the state, did it? That's what my point
was. It was about to until they repealed it.
I don't know about that. I think it's just a way for the state to get more power.
And if you look at alcohol prohibition, there was a lot of like actual crime, and there was like violent crime is what I'm trying to say. Like it kind of like rose up this sort of like mob rule, which I don't necessarily think is a good thing either. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like the state, but I also don't want, like, another group of criminals to replace the state.
Yeah, that's a bad idea, Skeeter. Thank you for your call. I just don't understand why he thinks things like that would bring more freedom to people's lives.
It'd be nice if he could, like, explain things better, right. But he just, like, doesn't really... Because I would like to understand him. Like, you know, if you could make, like, a... I'm not the type of person that is just going to, like... decide that I already disagree with you before you make your point. Like, I would really... But it seems like every time he calls, he can't, like, actually logically present his point, and then he'll just get really amped up and, like, start yelling at us.
Yelling or laughing. Like, you say something that makes total sense, and he thinks if he laughs at you, it takes away points from your argument.
I'm not laughing at him when he is speaking, so it's just kind of rude and, like, not cool. But we already know that about him.
And that's the thing. For listeners who don't know, Skeeter calls in every day. I already knew that he was an accelerationist, I think they call themselves. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. Because he calls in about the same subjects every single day. Like, I've already heard the little bit of explaining he does on his positions a million times, and he doesn't make any more sense. He doesn't take new ideas and learn. He doesn't go like, oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. He would never. He just believes that he has found the correct way to live over in California with, you know... You know, whatever's going on in his life.
I don't know if I have the correct way to live, and I'm not going to tell you if I do, because I don't know what path you're on.
Yeah.
That's very true.
I'm not saying I wasn't going to say I have the correct way to live. That's what I'm criticizing about Skeeter, that he thinks, you know, he knows everything already. You can't tell him anything new.
Yeah.
And, he's also in this chat all the time, and he's always talking about, the Free State Project and everything. Everything we like is bad. Everything that we do is bad. It's like, what are you doing? How about call in and tell us what you're doing?
Yeah, do something instead of telling others what to do. Come and show us how it's done. Lead by example. Do something productive.
He claims to be an anarchist, and I just don't see it from the things he talks about. But anyways, getting back into this article from Symbiosity.com, talking about psychedelics, this guy... Daniel Hanna tells us, before getting into how psychedelics blast you into another dimension, we need to do a quick crash course on spirituality so that you have context. He says existence has layers, and you vicariously exist in multiple realms at once. I believe that.
Yep.
Our universe is just one tiny piece of an otherwise infinite realm. There's a whole lot more information around us than what you and I can perceive. However, some people such as shamans, mediums, and mystics can naturally access some of this otherworldly information. And, I just don't get why people, boohoo that, just don't believe it on just the face of it, considering there are kids that just start talking about what they see, what they perceive. And how are you just going to think that a kid is making up? Like, at Porkfest, there was this girl that read auras.
Huh, interesting.
She would tell people, like, what color, or, like, the dad would ask if she wanted to, I guess, because she was, like, a really young kid, like, 5.
Yeah.
And she, do you see anything around this woman? I didn't get her to do it to me. My other friend was telling me about it. And she'd be like, yeah, I see pink and blue around her. Yeah.
That is, like, so nice that her father was supportive of that. And it's, like, even if it's not real, why are you going to break your child down like that and tell them, like, even if it is their imagination, whatever.
Yeah.
Who? It's just,
let people imagine things for a little bit. We need to learn how to imagine things more.
And that's, like, I always, like, have a huge problem when kids have, like, quote-unquote imaginary friends. Well, first of all, how do I know that whatever they're seeing isn't real? Like, I just because I can't see it and I can't experience it doesn't mean it's not real, first of all. Second of all, again, even if it was an imaginary friend, why would you want to break a child's imagination and creativity in their, like, fun for life? It just seemed like that was something that always, like, really bothered me.
If you go back and watch a cartoon you loved as a kid, especially, like, actually good one that you'll enjoy now, you can watch it, you'll enjoy it again, but you'll notice something is missing. And this happens to me so many times when I go back and watch something that I loved as a kid, and I'm like, okay, why didn't that just, like, hit as good as it did as a kid? And I think that the reason is because when you're a kid, you're watching, or in Riley's case, you know, maybe you listen to cartoons as a kid.
Yeah.
And your imagination is never stopping. You live in an imagination land. And maybe it's not actually, in everybody's case, it might not actually be seeing things in other realms. It's just this really strong imagination. And if you go back and watch a cartoon or movie, like a Disney movie or something like that, that you loved as a kid, I promise you, you can start to tap into that idea. Just, you had way more imagination as a kid. There are parts to, like, I watched Mulan. That's the movie that made me start thinking about this. I watched Mulan with Ian because he had never seen it, the 1997 one, I think it was, or 1998. And I really loved that movie so much, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. But I saw it a million times as a kid. And after it was over, I felt like there was, like, scenes that were cut out or something.
Hmm. Interesting.
I was just like, well, I feel like it's missing something. Like,
yeah.
They cut something out. I think it's just my imagination.
It's so true. My life, like, thinking back, like, my early childhood memories from when I was, like, 5 or 6 years old, my life was so magical. And, like, and this is kind of... Recently, I've been striving to get back to that point. You know what I mean? Like, I just remember, like, the way I would see things as a child was just so different. And even, like, the way I would think about things.
Yeah.
And it's sad that, like, part of growing up and becoming an adult is, like, essentially getting boring.
Which is beautiful in its own way. Like, I love both parts. Like, I loved my childhood. I'm, like, lucky to have had a really good childhood. And I love getting older, too. It's just like there's always something new to explore. I love that life keeps changing, like that you'll never get bored.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, life goes through seasons. We have seasons of growth. We have seasons of change. We have seasons of stagnation. It's just life is a beautiful experience sometimes. It's a little rough, but beautiful.
Well, Riley, we've only gotten a little bit into this article, like 4 paragraphs in, and we just have so much to say about it. So I think we'll have a lot more to say coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.